Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon for anyone and everyone here and maybe listening to the recording. Glad you can join us. The Lord is good all the time. I have a little story to share with you before we start tonight. After the Titanic went down, a young Scotchman rose in a meeting in Hamilton, Canada, and said, "I am a survivor of the Titanic. When I was drifting alone on a spar on that awful night, the tide brought John Harper of Glasgow, also on a piece of wreckage near me." "Man," Harper said, "have you accepted Christ?" "No," I said, "I have not." He replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." The waves bore him away. But strange to say, they brought him back a little nearer to him. He said, "Have you accepted him now?" "No," I said, "I can't honestly say I did." He said again, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is waiting for your decision." Shortly afterwards, he went down and there alone in the night, and with 2 miles of water under me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert. The young man received Bible studies, accepted its testing truths, and was baptized. And as one could say, when someone's accepted Christ as their Savior, the angel sang for another sinner had come to Jesus Christ, our only Redeemer. And to quote, I'm not sure if it's a song, but it says, And when in heavenly glory my ransomed soul shall be, from sin and all pollution forever set free, I'll cast my crown before him, and loud his grace extol, thou hast thyself redeemed me, thou alone hast saved my soul. Chosen for tonight's opening song, one that maybe you might know, I hope so, I must tell Jesus, and I'll just shift the screen up as you get to the words. And if anyone knows the words and they'd like to sing, please do so. I'll take the first line. And welcome again, brothers and sisters coming in the room. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
Let me try one here. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Make all my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. Ready and willing. Oh, so good to hear from Brother Dick and Sister Joan. What a blessing the gift and the power of speech and song is. Well, here we are on the 19th or 18th of August 2021. And we're continuing in the book of Revelation. Chapter 13, over halfway of the book of Revelation. But before we do that, we'll have a word of prayer. And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free to. And thank you.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you again that we can gather to worship you on our computers. We thank you that hopefully less of our number are sick. I thank you for the help of Rose and Anna to get me over the COVID, which was very terrible. I wonder, Jesus, if you spent 5 days unable to sleep, then you know how I felt. Come and be with us this evening as we study your word and give us a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, brother. The Lord keep you still in prayer. And it's so good to hear your voice. Welcome, dear Sister Luce.
Sorry I'm so late, but the online gremlins were getting to me this morning. My apologies.
Well, glad you could join us, sis, and glad you have an internet connection. Praise the Lord. What a blessing such times like these are. So let's review what we looked at last week. We looked at verses 3 to 9, and we found that one of the heads were wounded, and we found that that was none other than the papacy, which, with the help of the French army, they entered Rome and declared political rule of the papacy at an end and took the Pope prisoner to France, where he soon died. But we read further in the prophecy that it was healed. It was going to heal. And one of the significant events we looked at, and of course it's not news to anyone, preaching to the choir, but a significant event occurred in 1929 when the Lateran Treaty restored temporal power to the Pope, who was given the rule of Vatican City, a section of the city of Rome about 108.7 acres in extent. And of course, the prophets envisioning a much more greater restoration. He saw it completely healed and it leading to all the dwelling upon the earth except the faithful few worshipping this beast power. So we also read that in worshipping the beast, really worshipping the dragon. It's just the visible agency of the dragon, the beast, carrying out the dragon's program. And he spoke many great things. And of course, he hasn't changed. The prophecy doesn't say he's changed the way that he speaks. And some of the things that we looked at, the specifications of Revelation 13, 5 to 7, identified it with the beast that's represented by the little horn of the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7. Among the parallels, the following can be noted. One, the beast of Revelation 13 had a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. The little horn of Daniel 7 also had a mouth speaking great things. Another point, the beast was to continue 42 months. Just like in chapter 12, verse 6 of Revelation. And the horn was to continue until a time and times and the dividing of time. We can find that on Daniel 7:25. And 3, the beast was to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Revelation 13:7, and the horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Daniel 7:21. And some of the things that he did in the process, we looked at the fact that he assumes divine titles and prerogatives. He's a blasphemer. The power presumes to set up his temple on earth and draws attention of the people away from Christ and the sanctuary in heaven and the true tabernacle where Jesus ministers as the high priest. They cast down the work of that sanctuary, which the Lord pitched and not man. And the heavenly ministry of the sacrifice of Christ is discounted by the sacrifice of the mass on earth, in which it's substituted in the Roman Catholic Church. And it also gave a third aspect, that the blasphemy of the papal power touches the inhabitants of the heavenly realm, no doubt members of the Godhead, and those associated with them in the service for mankind. One of the Catholic claims is to have power to forgive sins, and also in ascribing powers and virtues to Mary that apply only to Christ. And thus the minds of men and women and children are turned away from the heavenly mediatorial work of Jesus to the confessional on earth. And the papal head also claimed power over the angels of God, which we read from a quote from Lucius Ferrerus. So that's what we got up to, which brings us to verse 10, which is sort of like the finishing of explaining what happens to such a power, and a warning to all. Would someone like to read that to us, verse 10? And any comments, any questions, any insights anyone would like to share?
I'd better get in while I can, I think. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Amen, dear sis, coming across loud and clear. So we have the persecuted children of God. It's stated that those who pursue them and condemn them to exile and even to death will themselves meet a similar fate. And, of course, a partial fulfillment of this in relation to the deadly wound can be seen in the capture and the exile of the Pope in 1798. And it's interesting that the term sword is used, because the beast will in the end perish by the sword of divine justice, just as he has conquered with a sword and other implements. Just like the Saviour said, they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Matthew 26:52. You know, after all that it's said here, I love how it finishes this section of the prophecy of chapter 13 with John telling us, here is the patience and faith of the saints. So they must have that of God, because they're on God's side and they're not working with this power that is seeking and continuing to blaspheme and support an institution that's in place of Christ, what we would call Antichrist. And the Greek word for patience implies more than a passive resignation. It denotes an active endurance. So during the warfare of the beast, the saints steadfastly endured despite the threats. Now, I've got a few quotes from Spirit of Prophecy on this particular point of the papacy's what can you say, a career. And I'll put that in the room, and if someone would like to read them to us, that'll be great.
A striking illustration of Rome's policy toward those who disagree with her was given in the long and bloody persecution of the Waldenses, some of whom were observers of the Sabbath. Others suffered in a similar manner for their fidelity to the fourth commandment. The history of the churches of Ethiopia and Abyssinia is especially significant. Amid the gloom of the Dark Ages, the Christians of Central Africa were lost sight of and forgotten by the world, and for many centuries they enjoyed freedom in the exercise of their faith. But at last, Rome learned of their existence, and the Emperor of Abyssinia was soon beguiled into an acknowledgement of the Pope as the Vicar of Christ. Other concessions followed. Go on reading. An edict was issued forbidding the observance of the Sabbath under the severest penalties. See Michael Geddes, Church History of Ethiopia, pages 311 to 312. But papal tyranny soon became a yoke so galling that the Abyssinians determined to break it from their necks. After a terrible struggle, the Romanists were banished from their dominions, and the ancient faith was restored. The churches rejoiced in their freedom, and they never forgot the lesson they had learned concerning the deception, the fanaticism, and the despotic power of Rome. Within their solitary realm, they were content to remain unknown to the rest of Christendom. The churches of Africa held Sabbath as it was held by the papal church before her complete apostasy. While they kept the seventh day in obedience to the commandment of God, they abstained from labor on the Sunday in conformity to the custom of the church. Upon obtaining supreme power, Rome had trampled upon the Sabbath of God to exalt her own, but the churches of Africa, hidden for nearly 1,000 years, did not share in this apostasy. When brought under the sway of Rome, they were forced to set aside the true and exalt the false Sabbath, but no sooner had they regained their independence then they return to obedience to the fourth commandment. See Appendix, Great Controversy 578, paragraph 1. These records of the past clearly reveal the enmity of Rome toward the true Sabbath and its defenders, and the means which she employs to honor the institution of her creating. The Word of God teaches that these scenes are to be repeated as Roman Catholics and Protestants shall unite for the exaltation of the Sunday. Great Controversy 578, paragraph 2. The prophecy of Revelation 13 declares that the power represented by the beast with lamb-like horns shall cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the papacy. They're symbolized by the beast, like unto a leopard. The beast with two horns is also to say to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, and furthermore, it is to command all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark of the beast, Revelation 13:11-16. It has been shown that the United States is the power represented by the beast with the lamb-like horns, and that this prophecy will be fulfilled when the United States shall enforce Sunday observance, which Rome claims as a special acknowledgement of her supremacy. But in this homage to the papacy, the United States will not be alone. The influence of Rome in the countries that once acknowledged her dominion is still far from being destroyed, and prophecy foretells a restoration of her power. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 3. The infliction of the deadly wound points to the downfall of the papacy in 1798. After this, says the prophet, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Paul states plainly that the man of sin will continue until the second advent, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 to 8. To the very close of time, he will carry forward the work of deception. And the Revelator declares, also referring to the papacy, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Revelation 13:8. In both the old and the new world, the papacy will receive homage in the honor paid to the Sunday institution that rests solely upon the authority of the Roman Church, Great Controversy 578, paragraph 3. Since the middle of the 19th century, students of prophecy in the United States have presented this testimony to the world. In the events now taking place, has seen a rapid advance toward the fulfillment of the prediction. With Protestant teachers, there is the same claim of divine authority for Sunday keeping and the same lack of scriptural evidence as with the papal leaders who fabricated miracles to supply the place of a command from God. The assertion that God's judgments are visited upon men for their violation of the Sunday Sabbath will be repeated. Already, it is beginning to be urged, and a movement to enforce Sunday observance is fast gaining ground. Great Controversy 578, paragraph, or 579, paragraph 1. Marvelous is her shrewdness, and cunning is the Roman Church. She can read what is to be. She bides her time, seeing that the Protestant churches are paying her homage in their acceptance of the false Sabbath, and that they are preparing to enforce it by the very means which she herself employed in bygone days. Those who reject the light of truth will yet seek the aid of this self-styled infallible power to exalt an institution that originated with her. How readily she will come to the help of Protestants in this work, it is not difficult to conjecture. Who understands better than the papal leaders how to deal with those who are disobedient to the church? Great Controversy 580, paragraph 1. There it is. She doesn't change. She's still going to use the same tactics, but she's letting all the Protestant churches where they're love, hugs, brotherhood, and be nice and kind to each other mantra. Well, they don't really know the word of God. Love doesn't spring from the human heart. It springs from God. No.
Yes, hello, how are you? Good evening. Yes, they don't.
Hello, dear sis.
Yes. Yes, the time is right upon us. No being able to not buy or sell.
And praise God, he's above it all and knows what is to be beyond. Let us be among the remnant. And thank you, dear sis. I know that was a bit of reading and coming across loud and clear. And the comment in the room, Rome never changes. It's very significant. Because Protestants say, oh, she's changed from that, what they've been. But the change is rather in themselves. They're not protesting at all. Is there anything anyone would like to share before we go to the next verse?
No church knows what's about to happen, or the world has no idea what's about to happen, but only a tiny little remnant.
All the more reason to let everyone know, isn't it? A matter of wisdom from God and the power to speak forth the truth in love.
Well, today you see the markets, supermarkets, are being told that no one can come in unless they have proof that they were vaccinated. So we'll see how far that goes, but, It's starting in a totally different way, this control of everybody.
The stores we have frequented before I got sick said, if you've had your vaccinations, you don't have to wear a mask. Well, they never came around and asked us point blank, have you had your vaccination? So anyway, the Kroger and Walmart, they've relaxed their restrictions to get in, you know, to have a mask. But it may come back, I don't know. Personally, I'd rather wear 5 masks than take the jab, because nobody knows what's in that jab. I laid out a lamb's teeth in his face.
I wear my mask, I do, when I have to go out.
Oh, thank you for the comments and, excuse me. Yes, it's a bit of a vivid, picture. I'm looking at and I'm thinking, yeah, it doesn't actually say the beast that comes out of the earth is a lamb. It just says it has two horns like a lamb. Only the horns are like lambs. So forgive me for, you know, I've taken this picture off the internet a year or so ago, technically speaking. You know, I've seen the very many other pictures I could have chosen. But, well, who would like to start this next part of the prophecy, verse 11? And, of course, any questions, comments, any insights you'd like to share, keep them coming.
And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. I guess that's what these teeth represent, his dragon speak.
Yeah, I guess the image doesn't look that fearful, does it? And I guess for us as Christians, it's not, it's an honor to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus said, he that will save his life shall lose it, but he that shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall find it. So here's the second part. Of course, we've looked at the first beast of Revelation 13, and now we're told that another beast, in addition to the one that has already been mentioned in this chapter. And, you know, something to bear in mind, not that you need telling this, being told this, but imagine if we were to only learn the counterfeit. And there are new counterfeits to come along, but we only learn the counterfeit. New counterfeits are designed to deceive, and with the devil behind them, that's the purpose. But if we know the truth, we'll identify every counterfeit. So we won't just have to learn that's counterfeit, that's counterfeit, that's, we'll have the truth to know every single counterfeit. And that's the power of God, to direct us and to have the word of God with the power of God, the Holy Spirit and the Bible, to the law and to the testimony, to give us that advantage. So we see that this, the first beast we read in verse 1 of chapter 13 as arising out of the sea. The four beasts of Daniel 7 also arose from the sea. And since sea does represent peoples and nations, according to Revelation 17:15, and he saith unto me, that's to John, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, we would naturally, reasonably, safely be able to assume that the earth would represent a sparsely settled region. And the nation thus represented would therefore not arise by war, conquests, and occupation, but would develop into greatness in a region of few inhabitants. And I don't know, I have not looked at how many inhabitants were, how many Indians there were in America at that time, but when the first, I'm not sure if the Indians are the only ones that lived there as well. Perhaps someone can fill that in for me. When the first beast was going into captivity in 1798, you recall that that's when the Pope Pius, interesting name, Pope Pius the VI, went into captivity and he died while there in France. The United States was growing into prominence and power. The nation arose not in the old world with its teeming multitudes, but in the new world with its relatively few inhabitants. And that info can be found in Great Controversy, page 439 to 441. And, you know, on the subject of earth, it is interesting to note, I'll just put something in the room, previous we read about the earth previously in Revelation 13, that's wrong, Revelation 12, verses 14 to 16, where we're told that to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. That is interesting in relation to what we're reading now, where this beast comes from, because as earth can represent a scarcity of peoples in contrast with waters, which is mentioned as tongues, nations and peoples, Revelation 17:15, it's been said that there's been this position that the point is the Reformation, where there were multitudes of people in Europe and the Far East, North America continent was very sparsely populated. Now, of course, they point to the land as the earth, which brings relief to the persecuted church of the old world, which is how the devil does not win in his sending a flood after the woman. And that also the Protestant lands of Western Europe, which became a haven from persecution, may also be included. It's been said sort of, you know, out in the wilderness. Others point to the Protestant Reformation itself as the major factor in breaking the spell of the apostate church. Now, it's interesting to note here, this is not to say in regards to the earth that the people of God were not helped previous to this, you know, leading up to the earth representing America, because, of course, it says that to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place where she's nourished all that time, which is a very long time. So God was helping her in a variety of ways. But it is interesting that as it comes to the end of the prophecy, we should have the details that when the serpent casts out of his mouth water as a flood, that the earth does help her almost at the very end of the prophecy, getting near the end, you know, 16th century and onwards, that this does take place. And of course, as we know, America is known as Protestant America. And it's interesting to note, I'll come bring back the picture here. Well, it's not very scary. We're not scared, are we? The two horns. Well, what could this represent? You know, the last time that we have read of the lamb and two horns, or horns, I should say, was from Revelation 5:6, where we're told that, let me put it in the room. Oh, just gotta put my power into the electricity, the computer. Praise the Lord for electricity. So we're told in Revelation 5:6 something to this effect. We're told that, and I beheld a lamb in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Now we know that that lamb is represented as Jesus Christ. The lamb is mentioned a number of times in the Bible, and it had seven horns and seven eyes, and it goes on. So there's one terminology used in the book of Revelation in relation to what we're looking at. A comment in the room, also the eagle is a representative of America. Yes, I was listening to a prophecy, someone sharing prophecy about this and how Benjamin Franklin wanted to have a different animal representing America. And I can't think of what. Ah, the turkey. And the guy said, I'm so glad that Benjamin Franklin's idea did not come to pass. The dear turkey. Turkey's a beautiful bird. All birds are beautiful. So what can these two horns represent? If we know that this is America, Revelation 13:11, because of its timing and the way in which it came up and where it came up, the two notable features of the American system of government, civil and religious liberty, both of which are guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States. And we say that the civil liberty in America is finds its expression in the Republican form of government, that is, no king, and the religious liberty in Protestantism, no pope. Sounds pretty good. And the term a lamb, we would say, that makes it sound, I know the beast is not said to be a lamb, as I said before, but said to have two horns like a lamb. It's implied. We would say that's Christ-like, a symbol of also youthfulness and peaceful intent. Other nations have been described as wild beasts because of their warlike attitudes. Have you noticed that? Daniel 7 and Daniel 13 could be included. This beast with the horns of a lamb could well indicate a nation that in the beginning of its history had no such aspirations. Its main concern was to live peacefully. Isn't that lovely? Order its own affairs and be a haven of rest for the oppressed of many nations. Out of many nations, one. And as someone made a joke that's from New York here in my bus depot, he said, not out of many nations, mainly England, one. Okay. Mr. Ernie. But there's a striking contradiction that takes place at the end of this. He speaks as a dragon, which is weird. It doesn't match that lovely lamb-like two little horns gentleness coming up out of the earth. There's that contradiction between the appearance and actions of the beast. It's gentle and apparently harmless, but in action it actually is persecuting and cruel, as we're going to find as we continue chapter 13. So we would say that this prophecy obviously hasn't happened yet, but there are signs of showing it, its willingness. The United States today continues to maintain the principles of freedom guaranteed in the Constitution, but the manner in which a change in policy will be brought about is outlined in the rest of this chapter. And, of course, it's in connection with the final crisis that immediately precedes the time when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So we know who wins. Now, what's interesting about this beast, too, is that with two horns coming out of the earth, it does not lose the two horns as it speaks as a dragon. The two horns don't break off his head. That's right. I've seen a picture of the beast represented by a bison. Lovely animal. I've never seen one in my life, but they're huge. They look like they work out. They've got these big shoulders on them. Beautiful animals. We have here, so we know the two horns being the features of American system of government, civil and religious liberty, the guarantee to the Constitution of the United States, but when it speaks as a dragon, it doesn't say those horns are taken away, which would seem to imply, I mean, you can disagree, I share that it seems to imply that the Constitution is not removed, it's just via the image of the beast, it's claiming and performing her actions as being constitutional. It's what we're all about. It's what this country, the home of the brave and the free, are all about. So what are your thoughts? Does anyone have any thoughts or any typing if you can't speak?
Yes, it's so sad that only a small little remnant won't worship it.
True.
What I see happening in America today is a prediction by Khrushchev back in the 1950s, where he said that communism would take over the United States and they wouldn't have to fire a shot. And you see it happening in our schools, or trying to happen in the schools, with some of the subjects they're teaching. They're teaching our children to hate America. And most recently, to tear down the monuments that have been put there for years commemorating different people who helped the United States, different presidents that helped the United States to stay the course for peace and freedom and Constitution. And you see all the time that the present body of lawmakers are trying to get around or ignore what the Constitution says. But with all these different mobs, Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all these different mobs that are rising up in the violence in the streets and the southern border being penetrated by everyone that wants to come in, and they're treated with more freedom than the Americans, who are mandated to get vaccinated and follow the rules, and the immigrants don't have to follow any rules. They're transported across the border, picked up and taken and dispersed all on the interior of the United States. And then the press reports that, oh, the COVID is rampant here, the COVID is rampant there. And they want to blame it on the unvaccinated Americans instead of putting the blame where it belongs. So you have a generation of people rising up that hate the United States. And then you have a bunch of immigrants coming over with, and they're not being changed from their third world country ideals. It's how long can democracy last with this kind of influx of people?
Unfortunately, we need to look way back. I think what we're seeing today had its real beginning when the United States adopted the educational system of the Catholic Church, elevating the rewards, and especially of teachers, and come down a few decades, maybe a century, and they quit teaching history. We're doomed to go through the same experiences of the past if we don't know what happened in the past. Like how many children today, or even adults for that matter, know anything about the French Revolution? And yet that's what we're seeing happening all around us.
We're seeing the mouth of the mark of the beast to come, and a lot of people are not awake what's taking place all around us.
Oh, thank you for those interesting comments. Don't want to help the image of the beast, do we? As we look further in this prophecy, we're going to see, you know, how we can contribute one way or the other, building up God's kingdom or contributing to the image of the beast and helping this lamb-like two-horn beast speak like a dragon. I'll put a quotation in the room, and if someone would like to read it on this particular point, that would be great.
And he had two horns like a lamb. The lamb-like horns indicate youth, innocence, and gentleness, fitly representing the character of the United States when presented to the prophet as coming up in 1798. Among the Christian exiles who first fled to America and sought an asylum from royal oppression and priestly intolerance were many who determined to establish a government upon the broad foundation of civil and religious liberty. Their views found place in the Declaration of Independence, which sets forth the great truth that all men are created equal and endowed with the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the Constitution guarantees to the people the right of self-government, providing that representatives elected by the popular vote shall enact and administer the laws. Freedom of religious faith was also granted, every man being permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his conscience. Republicanism and Protestantism became the fundamental principles of the nation. These principles are the secrets of its power and prosperity. The oppressed and downtrodden through Christendom have turned to this land with interest and hope. Millions have sought its shores, and the United States has risen to a place among the most powerful nations of the earth. But the beast with lamb-like horns spake as a dragon. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Revelation 13:11-14. The lamb-like horns and dragon voice of the symbol point to a striking contradiction between the professions and the practice of the nation thus represented. The speaking of the nation is the action of its legislative and judicial authorities. By such action, it will give the lie to those liberal and peaceful principles which it has put forth as the foundation of its policy. The prediction that it will speak as a dragon and exercise all the power of the first beast plainly foretells a development of the spirit of intolerance and persecution that was manifested by the nations represented by the dragon and the leopard-like beast. And the statement that the beast with two horns causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast indicates that the authority of this nation is to be exercised in enforcing some observance which shall be an act of homage to the papacy, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Here is clearly presented a form of government in which the legislative power rests with the people, a most striking evidence that the United States is the nation denoted in the prophecy. I might add that from the time the United States became a nation, they spoke like a dragon. You take our forefathers, they had their form of religion and they persecuted any other form that was here in the United States. Wherever we've gone into other countries, it may not be religious persecution, but if they don't have our form of government, we do everything to wreck the government they do have. We've been doing that for over 200 years. We have been waiting for this country to speak like a dragon in persecuting us personally. But I think this country has had a very bad history.
Oh, thank you, dear sis. Thank you for reading that. Very powerful insight. And that's interesting what you shared just then. I remember when Sister Lucy and I were years ago, we were talking about, you know, this prophecy coming to pass. And we looked at history of America. Has it ever spoken like a dragon in previous, has it ever shown its power to pass a national Sunday law and have its influence worldwide, which obviously does have a worldwide influence. And, I think we were reading, I'm not sure, maybe Lucy remembers, it was either called Enforced Sunday Law Coming Soon to America, which looks at the
beautiful good night, you. Friday. Thank you.
Thanks for coming, dear sis. See you Friday.
Bye.
God bless you. So I don't know which book it is. It might be Enforced Sunday Law Coming Soon to America. It's in the Politics Library of Free Literature Multimedia website. Or it could be National Sunday Law Crisis. It's one of those two, and it goes through the history of the 16th century up to about the 19th century, about various laws being enforced and the way that they enforce them, and of course relating to Sunday observance and how Sabbath observers were affected and others who didn't want to go along with it. And very eye-opening. You know, the heart of man has not changed, sinful by itself and working. And so, yeah, it's a good, very good, great insight. So I'm grateful that you mentioned that, Sister Jean. That's what it reminded me of. Does anyone else have anything more anyone would like to share? Well, we'll leave it there for this week, and we'll continue a close investigation into Revelation 13, the ins and outs, and where it is all tending. Looking forward to that. Does anyone have any testimonies, any stories they'd like to share, any praise or prayer requests, songs, requests before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
I want to praise the Lord that he helped me through COVID. The downside being I was the purveyor of COVID to the convocation in Oklahoma, out of which 7 people have suffered greatly. And I suffered too. If it weren't for Rose and Anna, who knows where I would be. But I just thank God that I'm on the mend physically. And they're having a memorial this evening for the pastor of the MENA church who got COVID since I did, and he died. And the reason people die with the COVID is because their bodies can't intake oxygen into their blood. You can pump it full of their lungs, but if the lungs don't convert it to the blood, you're still not getting it. I thought it was interesting. A healthy man's blood oxygen level is between 97 and 100. And a smoker is about 75. Can you imagine anybody with a smoking habit that gets COVID? You don't stand a chance. And Pastor probably wasn't a smoker, but his blood oxygen got way down. Nobody's told us exactly how much, but if a smoker could survive with 75% oxygen in his blood, I've yet to find out. Maybe his wife will reveal it. Maybe they said so in the the live stream supposed to have been this evening while they had the memorial service, but we didn't get a link, and so we'll have to go to an archive and see it. But I would really be curious to know what the blood level, oxygen level is of somebody who perishes. I just thank God that I came into this in good health, and God helped me survive.
Oh, thank you, dear bro. So good to hear your voice. Thank you for filling us in on how things have been going for you. I'm sorry, I didn't realize you actually went to Oklahoma as well. I was thinking you mentioned that and linked that in weeks gone by. And so thank you for mentioning that again. What a blessing you are all alive and getting the victory, even if only slowly.
I think one of the things that should be mentioned is this treatment with the positive pressure that they put on the ventilator that they put on some people that go to the hospital that need to have more oxygen. I think they would do much better with a, not the ventilator where they put people in a coma and the machine breathes for them. But when you're on a ventilator, you can't take a breath when you feel like you need it. The machine's going to give you a breath. And if it's not set right, or if it's neglected, if the patient doesn't get like the care that they should have and the settings change on that ventilator, it's going to kill people. And so they have to be very, very careful when someone is on a ventilator. When my grandson was in a very bad accident and they feared that his brain was damaged and was swelling and was going to be inhibited by his bony skull, they put him on a ventilator and put him in a coma. And he was fighting that ventilator all the time, and he had like almost like one-to-one care with that. But you have to be careful and set that thing just exactly right. We were very glad when they took him off of the ventilator, and he could take a breath or two breaths when he felt like he needed to. So much better for a living person to be able to breathe when they want to.
Thank you for that explanation, sister. I wondered why so many people on ventilators died. I heard a nurse from Florida telling how in New York they would put people on a ventilator and that was about all the care they got. And I just wondered about that. So you've explained it to me. Thank you very much. And yes, it's whole lot better if they can get something, whether it's ozone therapy, which gives them plenty of oxygen, or whether it's a, what they call an oxygen concentrator. I think anything probably would be better than being put on a ventilator.
Well, thank you for that, his comments. I was thinking of the song in this difficult circumstances, he's able, but it doesn't have many lines. Would someone like to sing that to us?
This is a great song. He's able, he's able, I know he's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able, I know he's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Amen.
Amen. And I want to praise the Lord for the opportunity to visit my dear brother, my older brother. Oh, I've only got two older brothers. Wonderful to be able to share some facts about the Christian faith. And I'm so thrilled. I hope those seeds remain in him as the Spirit convicts him. And I also want to say, you know, there's a blessing when you don't remember. Have you ever had that time when you can't remember a tune to a song, but you know the words, or the other way around? There I was at the last church on Sunday. It was called The Rocks. And they got a nice sign there, no perfect people allowed. So I thought that was another invitation to come and visit them at their car park. And as I'm traveling, I'm waiting for, you know, someone to come out because they got all these windows, can't see a thing. You know, they're mirror-like, but they probably can see you, but no one was coming out. And it just dawned on me the song whose tune I don't quite remember, wasn't remembering at the time. And it just came to me and it just kept me, it really thrilled my soul as I was going there. And no one came out, stopped me. No one said, what are you doing? What a blessing. It was like 70 cars, which is really helpful. And I got a call from a Church of Christ leader who told me, informed me, kindly, but don't do any of the churches in Rockingham and elsewhere. And I said, but bro, you can't tell me that. You can tell me not to come to yours, but you can't say for the rest. I'm trying to do all of Perth. And he asked me a number of questions. Why are you doing on this last message of mercy? I briefly told him about the everlasting gospel and the significance of it and how it's got to go to the whole world before it comes and it goes to Christians. Come out of her, my people. They're stuck in Babylon, Babylonish doctrines and practices. He listened. He let me even pray with him. And I pray he goes even further than that and considers. He said, these laws restore health. It's poorly written. And I thought, oh, okay. I didn't agree with him, but I said in a text, please show me where it's biblically in error so I can learn from it. But otherwise, and he hasn't responded yet, but hoping he turns around. Thanks for keeping us in prayer, and you're in our prayers. And speaking of prayer, why don't we have one? I'll go first. If anyone's impressed to pray thereafter, please feel free to do so. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to kneel before thy throne in faith, that through Jesus we are heard, through his merits and our prayers by his righteousness, we are alive unto God. Help us indeed die to self, because we are thereby being freed from sin and living in the selfless, sinless one, the only one, Jesus, our righteousness. Thank you so much for the different helps we've all received throughout the week. We're grateful to hear dear brother Dick speak and share what he can about what has been, and we're grateful for the helps also Rose and Anna have contributed to dear brother. We also uphold the fact that there are Christians right now that are being threatened with their lives because they're Christians, that these souls would be blessed with the conviction of having a conscience void of offense toward you and toward man. And because they know that there is life after death only through Christ, when he comes back to resurrect his people, they can happily die to self, even physically. But please give them the strength that they need to do this, because just as you give spiritual power, Jesus, you must, in that, you enable one to physically endure. And we pray that they will be recipients of this power to save them from falling, from their steadfastness. We thank you so much that the Oklahoma meeting could take place and that the seeds will remain, seeds of truth to sprout up in due time for my dear brother, my dear mother, and others whom you've allowed us to be in converse with, and to talk about things that really do matter, even if they don't think they matter, that they've been willing to talk to us, that they've been willing to listen. May we expect many more of these, for we know that everyone will share what's really in their heart and mind, and we've never found anything that this world has had to offer, a comfort and a solace for our sins, a power to overcome. We only find it from above, and that sent from above to us in the form and in the man Christ Jesus. And we're grateful we know this, and we want to increase in gratefulness as we get to know you better, Jesus, staying connected with the heavenly sanctuary, staying connected with you to be able to recognize all the truth that you would have us know, so that we can identify every counterfeit and falsehood that will never enter the kingdom of God. We also uphold the precious souls that continue to do work in COVID-restricted areas that their work will be blessed for what you've seen fit to allow them to do in a local way and even beyond their local way as it opens up, that their labors and those who are labored for are blessing to each, and that each of us and our immune systems will be taken care of as we continue with faith, trusting God, one of the eight laws of health, to keep the other seven. Thank you for allowing us to have constant internet connection. It's been a real blessing not to be cut out, neither Brother Dick or Sister Lucy or others. May there be many more times, and may we utilize, and Jesus, you give us the wisdom that we need to make the most of the time to count, and please help our brothers and sisters who are sick and suffering right now physically. Get all the rest that they can get. Get all the help that they need. Get all the whatever remedies you impress them with and others with to use, that they would continue to have an impact, even if it's just a little bit of a change for the better. And we're thankful that even if it's two steps forward and one step back, that we have an immune system, and that fighting that which does not belong in us, foreign bodies, what a blessing. Our bodies are made like that. Continue with them. Bring them back to complete health. And that this will be a thing of the past that stays there. Thank you for giving us hope and something above all the good news any worldly, carnal-minded person can give. And that being Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that in Him we are freed from the power and penalty of sin if we hold fast confidently to the end. The best news the world will ever have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we ask that you will come to the aid in the form of healing for Brian Acree, who has COVID, has been fighting it for 2 weeks, according to his father, and who is low on oxygen at this point and was taken to the hospital yesterday. We put him under your care, and may a doorway be open to the Acree family, that you truly are a God that heals and the source of all love, and may their hearts be melted to your word. May they read the Desire of Ages, even though the print is small. May they be able to read it and digest it and be uplifted by the words of truth. And thank you, dear Lord, for this one outlet, at least, that they may be drawn more to you and away from their Sunday keeping church. Be with those who are ill and fighting the COVID. Help their immune systems to fight it off. And thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to know the effects of healing herbs and just what we should do. And most of all, your healing power. Thank you that this has been demonstrated in our beloved brethren and sisters. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for our group here on Wednesday night and for the communication we have all over the world. Thank you for keeping the Sabbath alive in Central Africa during ages when people didn't know Thank you for each miracle that you perform to make your word still viable, your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Father in heaven, how very blessed we are that you are, as always, our shield and our refuge from all the trials that beset us daily. We are sometimes so full of our own woes that we too easily feel discouraged, and we desperately need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But as we are mindful of your matchless love for each of us, we sense in your presence the comfort that is always available to us, unworthy though we may be. I often feel so undeserving of all the blessings that come my way, and one of these is that you often see my needs even before I ask for your help, and sometimes even before I have realized that I have a need. I ask that I may always be perceptive enough to heed your advice, to be aware of what you would have me do when seeking your guidance. While we so often feel the comfort and security of your presence in our lives, we are also very aware of many of those near and dear to us who are totally unaware of what they're missing out on, and who may actively resist our efforts to share with them the wonders of your love. But please help us to never give up on trying to share with them what being a child of yours means to us in our everyday lives. Please accept this heartfelt prayer offered in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, is there any last thoughts anyone would like to share before we close tonight, today? Please go right ahead.
About a question. Has anybody heard from Bob and Michelle? Well, last I heard there, temperature was 104. I never had that temperature. Mine was about 101. Do you know anything about them?
My dear beloved brother, the high was 103.5. And that was like last week. And now it's, I woke up, today's temperature was 98.9. And I took it early afternoon and it was 99.7. So it's not anywhere near what it has been. And, today so far has been a good day, but as this thing progresses, it's like our dear brother James said, you take two steps forward and then one step back. But overall, it's progress in the right direction. So God be praised. He is greater than the devil. And I'm definitely looking forward to better days. Michelle has not in any way as high a temperature as I had. Today's not too bad a day for her, but we greatly appreciate your prayers. And again, God be praised.
Amen. I haven't phoned Jonathan recently, but I know he and Julie were down, and I said, what are you doing for it? He said, nothing. I said, well, here's Rose's phone number. Get in contact with her and ask her for some help. She won't come looking for you. But if you go looking for her, she won't turn you away. I'll call him tomorrow and see what he can tell me. But praise the Lord, Bob, that you're on the mend.
Yes, we'll indeed be keeping this in prayer, all of you. And that dear man that Sister Joan just mentioned, I think it was Kevin. Thank you, sis. Oh, sorry. Thank you, sis. Brian, brother, thank you. Brian, I reminded myself to put that on the prayer list, but I did not do it. Thank you for that.
I met Brian through Juanita. She was my dear friend that lived in Missouri that I worked with for over 17 years and in the dental field. And she married Brian's grandfather. And then when she died, she had Stephen Acree become her executor of her will. And Brian is Stephen's son. He has a wife and two small daughters. And I learned that he had had COVID when I sent a message to Stephen to ask him how he was doing. I hadn't heard from him for a while. And since he's the executor of Juanita's estate, there's several of us who have been favored by her to receive some money from the estate. And that's when I learned that Brian had been fighting COVID for 2 weeks, and he said he was low on oxygen and was going to the hospital, and he didn't know what was going to happen after that. So I told him I would keep Brian in prayer. And I just felt impressed that I should do that tonight, even though you don't know who Brian is. Thank you for remembering him in his prayer. Sometime back, I gave Steve a copy of Desire of Ages, and there was other family members there in Missouri that I passed out the Conflict of the Ages books to. And one of Juanita's brother-in-law had made a statement that was just startling to everyone. He just came up with it out of the blue. We were all discussing something, and all of a sudden he said, "Did you know the seventh day was the Sabbath?" And he'd been studying, I guess, and this was before he even had the Conflict of the Ages books. And I said, "Why, yes, that's the truth." And that's when I got the books for them and handed them out to everyone. But it's amazing how, you know, when you're tuned into God's word, someone can give you just a sentence and you know they're on the right track. And anyway, he and his wife have since passed, as Juanita has. And we were able to see her in the hospital. Brucey and Michelle, Elder Robert and Michelle were there to see her also. She was like part of the family. And we had prayer with her, and she was instrumental when I asked her if we could work on Sunday instead of Sabbath, because I didn't want to work on Sabbath. It was God's holy day. And she said, "Well, what if I want to go to church on Sunday?" And I said, "Well, do you go to church on Sunday?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, I go to church on Sabbath." So because she was the office manager, she talked to the dentist, and I was able to have Sabbath off. And I told her, "You watch, Sunday will have more patients come in than we would ever have come in on Sabbath." And it worked out that way. The patients were so happy that they could come on Sunday, because usually their Sabbaths were taken up with other things that they wanted to get done, but they had Sundays open. So she was very instrumental in helping me keep the Sabbath, and praise the Lord for that. Anyway, that's who Brian is. He's kind of a shirt tail, but he's still precious in God's sight.
Well, thank you for filling us in with that interesting story, briefly told. And before I forget, my part-time bus driver, he's going on holidays for 2 weeks, so I will be needing to fill in for him. So I won't be here for 2 Thursdays or 2 Wednesdays, unfortunately. But hopefully someone will. I don't know what we might arrange, but yeah, the Sabbath won't be affected, of course. But Wednesday or Thursday for us, I won't be able to be here. I'll be driving a bus. So I'll probably mention it again on Friday. Dear Brother Bob has requested me to fill in. And so I'll let everyone know if anyone's affected. So that's where we're at. So much to keep in prayer and much to be thankful for, nevertheless, in prayer. Dear Sister Lucy had to leave. She's got an appointment. That's why she's not here. I didn't say goodbye to Brother Joel, but Brother Dick, are you able to sing us away? Would you like myself to sing Keep Looking Up?
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, thy darkest clouds will fall away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
That's my brother in the duet this evening. He was good to see that I prevailed on him.
That was a great duet. Thank you.
Amen.